Kira Nuku is the co-whakahaere head of the New Zealand Nurses Organisation, warning that chronic staff shortages, overcrowding and under-resourcing in our hospitals is placing both patients and healthcare workers at risk. And the concerns are heightened by the tragic death of a patient while waiting at Waikato Hospital's emergency department. Thank you for your time today, Te Tohene. Tēnā koe, Kiri.
Tēnā koe.
9 hours waiting in the ED, not unusual. 6 hours, big long waits for people who are often in pretty desperate circumstances. Nurses have been warning for years that emergency departments are understaffed and operating beyond capacity. Now, following that tragic death of a patient who was waiting at Waikato ED, do you believe the tragedy reflects wider systemic failures in our health system? And you've got to feel for the staff involved here and, of course, for the whānau who lost their loved one. Mm. What's your thinking about what has occurred there, Kelly?
Yeah, well, absolutely tragic. And my heart goes out to the whānau who lost their loved one and also every other whānau that's lost their loved one because of waiting times in ED or because of understaffing within the whole health system. But you mentioned it in your opening address, you know, it's not unusual to wait 9 hours. That should not be acceptable. We've come to tolerate that when you go to ED departments, emergency departments, you go there for a purpose and a reason to be seen in a timely manner. But we've accepted over the years that, you know, 9 hours is what we could be expecting. So people make decisions, do we go or do we not? Do we send and wait and wait and wait? So we've become accustomed to a system that isn't responding to the needs of patients. And this is, indicative of a wider issue around the understaffing, under-resourcing. And we've been saying this for far too long. We've also been saying that deaths will be imminent as a result of it. And unfortunately, these things are, at this point in time, this is going to be one that's reported, and then the next one will be in the waiting room in ED. You know, the governments have not listened, and unfortunately, this is the result.
I feel for the staff here. But as an example, you mentioned that many people will arrive at the emergency department, look around and say, and out they go. Is there any data that points to that, how many people might present but then bail before they've even been seen?
No, there isn't any data. I mean, Te Whatu Ora, it would be nice for them to collect that sort of information. But patients also don't come up and say, we've had enough, we're leaving. They'll just leave in frustration and may verbalise their discontent. But there isn't, as far as I know, there isn't a data of that. And when EDs start to get overwhelmed, they might refer people to the primary healthcare, their local primary healthcare emergency services to be seen. But there and again, with the pressure that's out there in primary healthcare, they've also got long waiting lists. So the problem is systemic. It's across the board, but I'm not sure if Te Whatu Ora bothers to collect that information.
What about pastoral care for those? Even in this circumstance, there will have been nurses who were registered that day, and it must have an emotional impact on them. What sort of support is provided to them in a circumstance like this?
So ordinarily, there would be some type of debrief and they would be offered some EAP support. But the thing is that we've got a tragedy, we've got a death here, but also, and the nurses and also patients that are waiting in this waiting area are seeing some horrific results. And I don't think the pastoral care or the mentoring or supervision or that support that's provided afterwards, I don't think it's adequate. And what we've seen is nurses that are burnt out, they're fatigued, they're watching and observing all that's happening, and they're going back to work. And I don't think that there isn't the resource to be able to say, you might need to take some time away from the situation, you might need to get some additional support in this horrific event, because every nurse goes to work every day to make a difference for their patients. Nobody goes expecting that there's going to be witnessing sort of a tragedy like what occurred in Waikato. So I don't believe that there's enough support that's provided to the whole of the health workforce in situations such as this.
Yeah, and look, while we're looking at the Waikato model, is that replicated at our hospitals up and down the country as we speak?
Yeah, definitely. And that was, you know, we spent months last year in the collective bargaining for the nurses that work within Te Whatu Ora saying, hey, look, identify and acknowledge that's an under resourcing, especially in the pressure points like ED, like maternity, like mental health services, and let's start to address those pressures. Because they're the front facing, they're where patients most access, they're the access points. And if they can't get seen timely because there's a pressure and build up within the system, then people will sit there and wait and be triaged against what they consider to be the most urgent to be seen first. So there is a systemic issue around the health and safety and the health and safety of nurses when they're at work, and the health and safety that patients should expect through a quality healthcare system when they come in to use the facilities.
When we talk, we tend to focus on pay rates for nursing staff, but of course the understaffing issue is significant and ongoing. So when a situation like this arises, it puts into sharp focus the reality of the pressures that our nurses, our kaimahi in the health system, are facing and under. Tell us about the negotiations then to improve staffing levels or indeed pay packets. Who do you discuss this with? Where are these discussions at?
So the nurses in Te Whatu Ora have been through their bargaining and have taken a settlement, and they go back into bargaining again next year to look at working conditions and pay rates, etc. So in 2027, they'll start again in October negotiating pay rates or working conditions. And primarily, the reason why nurses held out for as long as they did in the last negotiating round, so these are negotiated every 3 years, is because, nurses needed to be acknowledged and for the work that they do and the skills that they have. And certainly pay was part of that, and senior nursing pay rates. However, the more important thing is that the working conditions and the health and safety of nurses at work and patients' quality care, that was actually the primary driver. And if you can recreate safe environments because you've got adequate nursing staff on board, et cetera, that's what nurses were wanting to push over the line. What governments wanted to portray is greedy nurses, you only want more money. But actually they were calling out for safer working conditions. Safer working conditions, including more nurses on board when they go to work. So again, it'll be the same issues that get raised, the quality of working conditions and ensuring that there's adequate nurse to patient ratios to try and alleviate these types of disasters from happening.
Are we staffing areas of lower socioeconomic incomes stronger than others? And is there some data suggesting that ED waiting rooms are at times filled with poor people? What could you share in that space?
Yeah, so if you've come in there, if you've come in because you can't afford to go to the doctors, because it is expensive to go to doctors now, you know, primary healthcare facilities, and it also is accessibility to get to them. So if you've come in with some sort of minor sort of ailments, then you're not prioritised in your terms of your care. So you could be well waiting there for a long time, because as other more urgent cases come in, they'll be seen over you. So there is this prioritisation or triaging that happens within ED facilities, but it's kind of, we don't staff to, you would have seen, when the government talked about cultural safety as an ideological wokeness, if we don't start to identify that culturally safe care is equally important as clinically safe care, then we're never going to identify the differences between inequities and reduce those gaps in access to culturally safe, culturally appropriate workforce and care. But no, we don't staff people depending on sort of more lower socioeconomic groups. We don't even staff wards adequately as it is for any groups.
Now, Health New Zealand, I note, has launched a rapid clinical review, but nurses have repeatedly raised concerns about staffing and patient safety. What accountability measures and resource commitments do you believe are needed to prevent similar tragedies such as we've witnessed in Waikato from happening again?
Well, you know, launching a rapid inquiry is great. If you're going to be truly open to what are the drivers, what is the root cause that has led to the systemic understaffing within EDs? There is no point launching an inquiry unless you understand it and are prepared to open up the books and say, this is what the data has been showing and this is what has been happening in terms of nursing workforce to match the demand within ED services. All of that needs to be put on the table. And because the whānau do need to have answers, you know, how can it be that we can have people waiting in the waiting room for so long? So great that they've launched an inquiry. It must go deep, it must go wide, and there must be real tangible solutions that are put in place. And if the issue is that the austerity measures were being put in place and therefore staff were consciously reduced from ED areas, especially knowing that there was a surge in inpatient presentations, then somebody needs to be responsible for the decisions that have been made, the financial decisions that have been made that have impacted on patient safety.
Well, we know that nurses are doing their best. Sadly, each time we talk, we're always talking about understaffing and the pressure that they're under, our nursing staff. Sometimes you think you're living in a third world health system. Other times, mindful that we're, for the most part, appreciative of any tautoko we can get. But certainly the pressures that our health care professionals are under should never be understated. This is an alarming warning about the current state of our public health system. And is it going to be surfacing? You say that the next negotiations with government agencies regarding staffing levels and incomes are not until next year. What needs to happen right now?
Yeah, so we'll continue to put pressure on and we'll look forward to the results of the rapid inquiry. And if it doesn't go deep enough to address the systemic issues, then we'll be ensuring that we're agitating around that space to advocate for nursing, but also for patients. I mean, my heart goes out to those nurses that were on shift. My heart goes out to those young children that would have seen such a horrific event, and to all of the other patients. You know, we've got to be, we are not a third world country, and we shouldn't be behaving like that. We should be able to respond to the needs of 5 million people. You know, we're a small island country with some really talented health workers and expertise out there, and those experts that have been calling on addressing the shortage. So we've got to do something about it.
Te Nakwe, I thank you for again highlighting the challenges in the sector. We do that regularly. About time the government listened, but they seem to be distracted by the need to get the reins of power again, and that seems to be all most are interested in at the moment. Mihane Kakwe, thanks so much for sharing some thoughts with us again today. Kiri. Kiri Nuku is the New Zealand Nurses Organisation Kaiwhakahaere.